As Story Publishing presents Cracked Perfection. Vincent Marlowe woke in his usual haze, stale air, peeling concrete, stubborn memories dissecting his mind. Concord State Prison, 1995, stone corridors echo unspoken confessions of men who traded freedom for time. Before dawn, he lay on a narrow cot, eyes tracing ceiling cracks as if deciphering hieroglyphs of escape. Each distant clang, every hum of fluorescent lights, rattled his inner monologue of regret and obsession. He had once believed in the flawless crime, a heist so precise, guilt itself couldn't follow. Now locked in this cell, that belief had festered into an obsession. His days fell into a rigid rhythm: wake, reflect, eat, endure. Conversations whispered in corridors became precious intel for a dream of perfect escape, redemption or defiance. He no longer cared which. When the prison stirred, his thoughts turned to Rex, a legendary lifer with a face carved by regret. Rex spoke sparingly, but with the weight of someone who'd seen too much. "Freedom's price," he'd say, "is sweat stamped in blood." His tone wasn't harsh, more a mournful encouragement, as if imparting a lesson he knew he'd never redeem. For Vincent, each fragment of Rex's counsel was a droplet feeding his growing plan. That morning, a winter chill edged through the infirmary corridor, where the stale scent of antiseptic mingled with dust. Vincent found Rex perched on a wobbly bench, hands folded against time's current. Rex shifted slightly at Vincent's approach, the bench creaking beneath him. His footsteps echoed as he approached. "Rex," he began, lowering his voice, "ever feel like the locks here trap more than bodies? Like they're designed to break our minds first?" Rex looked up, eyes dimmed by long memories. "Outside's just more doors with chains on 'em, kid. But sometimes the key isn't in the click, it's in the bolt no one bothers to reach." His cryptic line sparked Vincent's resolve, a hint that vulnerability could lie in the overlooked. He filed it away and thought of Mira, the guard whose reluctant kindness unsettled him. Most officers wore authority like armor. Mira's gaze carried a hint of something softer. Rumor said she'd lost a sibling to the same system she now enforced, giving her moments of unguarded empathy. Their encounters were fleeting but charged. During a headcount, she'd paused at his cell and pressed a small photograph, her family, against the bars. No words were exchanged, but in that silent offering, Vincent sensed respect, a shared understanding that lives were more than worst acts. Days slipped into nights. In the hush of his cell, Vincent's mind staged endless debriefs of his past, the botched robbery that cost his freedom and shattered his myth of perfection. He dissected every misstep, the impatience, the overlooked detail. From those shards of failure, he began sketching a blueprint for escape. One afternoon in the yard, he overheard a hushed exchange between two inmates. "By the old utility corridor," one said, voice low. "There's a gap in the bars, tiny, but enough." The other nodded, eyes darting. "If you know it's there, that's your ticket." His pulse quickened. A chink in the fortress, his obsession awakened. He let their voices drift, then replayed every word. That fragment, though vague, was a lifeline. Back in his cell, he reorganized his hours. Mornings, he paced the floor, mapping cracks and faint camera glimpses seen through grates. Afternoons, he tuned in to guard routines, the echo of boots, the shuffle of keys. He watched Mira's patrol, noting each pause, each tone when she gave orders. Every observation felt like a vital brick in his covert architecture. That evening, he returned to Rex at the mess hall recess. Silverware clinked around them, but Rex's spoon paused midair. "I heard something in the yard, a gap on the west side," Vincent said. "No proof yet." Rex quirked an eyebrow. "A carrot's no use without a stick, kid." "You verify it?" "Not yet. I need more. Guard shifts, blind spots. Something solid." Rex leaned in, voice low. "Count their years, not just their steps." "New guards stick to easy halls. Veterans handle serious spots. That's where they cut corners." Vincent nodded, filing away this new perspective. It wasn't certainty, but it was another lens. Later, under dim corridor lights, he ventured toward the west side. The air smelled of old sweat and cold metal. Supply closets lined one wall. On the other, the concrete felt uneven. He pressed his palm against it. One joint sat a millimeter lower. He probed gently and felt brittle mortar give way. It was hardly more than a hairline crack, yet enough. His heart thundered as he stepped back, memorizing stains on the floor, scratches on the wall. Then he retreated to his cot, breathing deep. In the flicker of a failing lamp outside, he replayed that discovery. The gap was tiny, stubborn, a perfect flaw. Night draped the prison in muted shadows. Vincent lay awake long after the last guard passed. He reviewed Rex's metaphors, Mira's silent photograph, the yard whisper. His cell's darkness became a projection of possibilities, each flicker a risk, each silence an opportunity. He pictured the escape, sliding through that space, tools sharpened to pry open the next barrier. Every muscle hummed with anticipation, yet guilt warred with determination. He'd drawn others in, Rex's careful warnings, Mira's subtle compassion, the fellow inmates whose chatter he'd relied on. Freedom's price, Rex had said, was sweat and pain. Was he ready? A distant buzzer sounded. Vincent lay still, letting each echo settle. Then, with quiet resolve, he traced his plan. Map guard patterns, gather makeshift tools, time the gap. He allowed himself a small, defiant smile. In this place built to crush hope, he'd found a margin of error, a flaw waiting to be turned. Morning would come with its routine headcounts and locked doors. But for now, in the midnight stillness, he savored the birth of his obsession. Even here, perfection slipped through fractured walls. And with that fragile knowledge in hand, Vincent Marlowe sealed his promise. He would see that gap, push it to its limit, and walk free. Vincent lay in pitch-dark silence, the prison's distant hum pressing against his every thought. Above him, the dying lamp rattled once, then went cold. In the black, his mind replayed the heist that had landed him here. The mistimed signal from his accomplice, the single heartbeat's hesitation that unraveled everything. He let each broken calculation surface. The flaw was never grand, but microscopic, and microscopic was enough to destroy perfection. When dawn's gray light crept through the narrow window, Vincent rose with deliberate calm. He smoothed the crease in his uniform and joined the morning count, standing among rows of inmates like pieces on a chessboard. His eyes flicked to the guards, small pauses in their stride, the way one kept his hand on his belt longer than protocol dictated, cataloging every hesitation. In the mess hall's clatter, Vincent slipped onto the bench beside Rex. The old lifer's face, weathered as the walls around them, softened in the half-light. Rex toyed with a worn photograph, its edges curled like time itself. "Still dancing with ghosts, kid?" Rex asked, voice gravelly but calm. "Your failures aren't shackles, they're instructions." Vincent dipped his head, spoon hovering. "That night in the rain, I trusted instinct over precision. One misstep cost me everything. Now I need to track every flaw, find the gap, and widen it." Rex's eyes gleamed. "Bricks and bolts carry secrets. Guards repeat patterns. They hum a tune if you listen. That hesitation you saw this morning, that was your invitation." A guard paused at the doorway, scanning the room with practiced indifference. His gaze slipped over Vincent, then shifted on. The moment hung heavy. Vincent felt the spark of suspicion alight in his chest. Even now, his probing could be unraveling. Later that afternoon, Vincent slipped into a shadowed corridor off the infirmary wing. There, hushed voices gathered like moths around a dying flame, men trading scraps of intelligence, changeover times, supply deliveries, a rumor of a tool smuggled through laundry. He recorded every whispered detail, etching them into memory. He thought of Mira. Her rare half-smile in the yard, the quick tilt of her head when she passed his cell. Rumor was her brother had died in a cell just like this. That pain had sharpened her empathy into something keen. She saw the small anomalies most guards missed. If she'd sensed his interest in those faded gaps in the wall, she'd surely noted it. As daylight drained away, Vincent made for a low-traffic wing, a part of the prison few bothered to patrol. Here, the concrete breathed secrets. He pressed a palm against the wall, tracing a faint crack he'd discovered days ago. Fingertips brushed brittle mortar. He probed, felt the void grow under his touch. This was the breach Rex had hinted at, the tiny fault line between confinement and escape. A sudden rattle of boots jolted him upright. He flattened himself against the rough surface as a guard's flashlight beam swept past. His heart hammered in the stillness. The beam wavered on the opposite wall, then flicked away, swallowed by the wing's gloom. Vincent exhaled, quietly, deliberately, then backed away, each step measured so the tiles wouldn't betray him. He retraced his path to his cell, boots echoing softly against cold concrete. Inside, he sank onto the narrow cot, tucking his plan and his fears under the thin blanket of darkness. He pictured Rex's lined face and Mira's wary eyes. He recalled the rumble of the failing lamp, the boots that had nearly caught him, and the musty corridor's secrets waiting to be unearthed. In his mind, he drafted the next move. A smuggled file from an inmate who worked the prison workshop would arrive tonight, hidden in the laundry. With it, he could shave off enough concrete to widen that gap. It was a small step, but one he would execute with surgical precision. Beyond the cot's edge, the corridor sighed with distant chatter. Vincent pressed his palm to his chest, feeling the pulse that kept time with his thoughts. Every memory of failure was now a blueprint for success, each miscalculation a lesson burned into his resolve. A faint glow crept around the edges of the barred window, promising the routine of another day. Vincent closed his eyes, letting the hush of pre-dawn fill his mind. Tomorrow he'd test the gap. Tomorrow he'd refine the pattern of guard movements. And tomorrow he'd edge closer to redemption or to the brink. In that tense hush, where every footfall and every whispered word could spell his undoing, Vincent Marlowe steeled himself for the decisive act of desperation and courage he knew would come. The perfect escape, he reminded himself, began with one flawless move, and he intended to make it count. In the pre-dawn hush, when even the walls seemed to conspire with silence, Vincent slipped from his cell with deliberate purpose. Each footstep had been rehearsed in his mind during countless nights spent cataloging guard patrols and the hum of distant machinery. Beneath his threadbare jacket, the smuggled file pressed cold against his ribs, a makeshift blade to pry open the one flaw he'd discovered. The prison's corridors were the sound of routine, clanging gates, the jangle of keys, the hollow echo of boots. Around him, the West Wing lay in shadow, its gloom a siren call to freedom. Vincent pressed his back against the cool concrete, listening for the guard's low conversation drifting from the main hallway. He closed his eyes and replayed each pause, each shift change he'd memorized. Now, it was time. In the stale air of a disused utility closet, Rex crouched behind a stack of rusted lockers, his lined face illuminated by the weak glow of an exit sign. The old inmate's eyes flickered with hard-earned resolve. Vincent approached. Rex offered a steady nod. "Steady," he whispered. "This is it." Vincent moved into the supply corridor and found the seam in the crumbling mortar where he'd first felt escape whisper through the stone. He slid the file into the narrow crack, breath catching as metal bit into stone. Each scrape was a confession, each shard of debris a step closer to air unfiltered by bars. A sudden clang of boots jolted him upright. He ducked behind stacked crates as a lone guard's flashlight beam swept the hallway, skimming past the gap he'd carved. For a heartbeat, the world held its breath, then the beam swung away, swallowed by darkness. Vincent exhaled and turned back to the wall. His strikes grew more furious, the file's edge forging freedom. Then, out of the gloom, Mira appeared, her silhouette bracketed by the faint glow of emergency lights. She moved almost hesitantly, uniform outlined in shadow, her eyes catching his in a silent collision of shared histories. He saw in her face the same haunted desperation he'd glimpsed once in her brother's stare. an unspoken understanding passed between them. She stepped aside without a word, her choice as weighty as any shouted order. Vincent squeezed through the widening gap. Alarms began to murmur in the distance, a rising tide of warning. From beneath the rubble, Rex's voice crackled through a jury-rigged radio. "Almost there. One more push," he urged. With a final resolute strike, the wall segment gave way. Vincent wriggled into the narrow void, the rough stone scraping his forearms as he slid through into the inner courtyard. Night air, damp and electric, washed over him. He paused only to steady his racing heart. Behind him, the alarm swelled into urgent clamor. He didn't look back. Instead, he sprinted toward the perimeter fence, mapping each guard's silhouette in his mind. The chain-link barrier rose before him like a steel cliff. Gripping the wire and concrete lip, Vincent began his ascent, muscles burning in the chill. Below, shouts and flashing lights painted the ground in staccato bursts. He climbed higher, each pull a gamble between agony and triumph. At the top, Rex's parting whisper trailed on the wind. "Freedom's earned on nights like this, kid. Run, and never look back." Vincent heaved himself over the razor-tipped edge and dropped into darkness. The night swallowed him whole. Vincent Marlowe, escaped, alive, driven by every failure that had brought him to this moment, vanished into the cold, relentless dark, each heartbeat a promise of the redemption he still chased. Vincent pressed onward into the unfamiliar night. The cold Boston streets felt nothing like Concord's claustrophobic corridors. Diesel fumes and wet pavement stung his nostrils. Shadows whispered of consequences he'd nearly escaped. His heart hammered with the pulse of stolen air as he picked his way through broken neon and flickering street lamps. Behind him lay the bleak gray of confinement. Ahead, only risk and possibility. He wound into a rundown district of weary bricks and boarded windows. His contact, Travis, had chosen a nondescript storefront. Halcyon Goods, its glass shattered and sign faded. Travis, once military intelligence, now black market fixer, leaned against a graffiti-stained wall, the scar along his left cheek cutting through the stubble of his jaw like an old wound that wouldn't heal. When he glanced up, those sharp eyes flicked over Vincent's silhouette with practiced appraisal. "Marlowe," Travis said, voice low and measured. "Not every stray finds the freedom it craves." Vincent stepped into the weak glow of a guttering bulb. "I'm not a stray," he said. "I'm a man who's been counted twice and still has something to prove." His words came clipped, as if each one had worth he couldn't afford to squander. Travis's jaw tightened. He reached inside his jacket and pulled out an envelope, sliding it into Vincent's hand. "Your new identity," he murmured. Inside lay forged documents, a passport and driver's license bearing a quiet respectability. "Boston's claws will dig deep, but these'll help you blend in. For now." Before Vincent could ask a question, a slender figure stepped from a shadowed doorway across the street, Lucia. The seasoned thief Vincent had once run with, her lean frame coiled like a cat ready to spring. She studied him with eyes too worldly for her years, lips pressed into a cynical line. "You're a ghost, Vincent," she said, voice edged with wry amusement. "I thought you'd disappear entirely. You really think a few papers will outrun your history?" Vincent met her gaze. "I'll take my chances," he replied. "I need to vanish. For now." She nodded, folding her arms. "You've always been reckless. Maybe that's your only strategy." She glanced at the envelope. "Back in the day, we scraped by on scraps. Now every alley has a predator hiding in its dark, and Delgado's no patsy." At the mention of Delgado, Boston PD's relentless manhunter, a distant scanner's crackle punctured the night. Vincent's pulse quickened. Rumor had it, Delgado once was a straight-arrow detective until personal tragedy warped his methods. Now he hunted fugitives with near-obsessive zeal. Lucia's eyes narrowed. "We move. If Delgado even sniffs your trail, this whole setup collapses." Travis dropped his voice. I've secured a safe house on the outskirts. It's rough but solid. You've got a few hours before they close in. But remember, every move you make is under a microscope. Law, old enemies, maybe even friends you thought you could trust. They slipped through fogged streets where streetlights blurred into halos and wet cobblestones reflected phantom shapes. Vincent fell in beside them, mind racing between adrenaline and calculation. Behind every shadow now lay the weight of his forged papers, the fragile armor against a system built to spot anomalies. They slowed in a narrow lane littered with discarded flyers and puddles. Travis crouched beside a boarded storefront. "Word is Delgado's been spotted near the docks and these alleys," he said, voice barely above a whisper. "He's tightening the net." Vincent scanned the looming darkness. Every instinct, honed by months behind concrete, told him danger shadowed their steps. "What's our play?" he asked, tone flat but urgent. Lucia exchanged a look with Travis. "For now, you stick with us. Keep your head down, your papers clean. Survival isn't just running, it's knowing which door to knock on and never trusting the hand that beckons from the gap." The distant thud of boots on wet stone reminded them the city moved too fast to be outpaced. Vincent clenched the envelope in his fist, feeling its edges press like a vow. With each step toward the safe house, he crossed an invisible line between fragile freedom and the perilous unknown. Boston's labyrinth was unforgiving. Every ally might harbor a blade turned his way. They turned into an even narrower alley, where the hum of traffic faded into tense silence broken only by dripping water from a sagging fire escape. Vincent paused, senses straining. Ahead, muffled voices jostled in the gloom. Prison whispers reborn on these streets. He straightened, resolve hardening. The hours ahead would test him far beyond the cell walls he'd left behind. As they advanced into that dark stretch, Vincent felt the city itself holding its breath, ready to judge a fugitive who claimed his own fate. And in the hush before confrontation, he knew one thing was certain. Freedom came at a price, and Boston was eager to collect. The distant wail of sirens droned through Boston's back alleys as Vincent, Travis, and Lucia pressed against the cold brick, rain slicking every surface. Under a sputtering street lamp, puddles reflected neon fragments and graffiti-scarred walls, turning each footstep into a whispered warning. Vincent glanced at Travis, the scarred fixer whose calm mistrust felt almost comforting, and then at Lucia, the lean thief he'd once run with. Her eyes glinted in the murk, muscles coiled for violence. He dropped his voice to a growl. "This isn't a welcome party." Stay. Travis planted his back against chipped concrete. "Profit always comes with teeth. Don't forget that." A clatter up ahead snapped their nerves taut. Two figures stepped into the dim light, one gaunt, with a fresh scar slicing across his temple, the other broad-shouldered, swaggering as if daring them to act. The gaunt man spat on the pavement. "Marlowe, thought you'd vanished for good. Guess I was wrong." Lucia's lips curled. "Nolan and Carver," she murmured, names that carried a roar of warning in this underworld. Nolan grinned, hand drifting to a holster. "Looks like you brought friends." Carver's laugh cracked the silence as he leveled his piece. Lucia was faster. Two shots spat into the gloom. Travis lunged, wrestling Carver's arm and freeing a revolver. Vincent dove behind a dumpster as bullets sparked off metal and spilled powder filled the air. The metallic scent of blood and rain blurred together. "Cover me," Lucia hissed beside him, her Glock barking twice. Vincent's heart thundered. He looked down the alley, saw headlights carving an angle of harsh light, and heard a single voice cut through the fray. "Drop it now, Boston PD." Officer Delgado strode in, badge gleaming, face set in grim determination, voice hard and unyielding. For a heartbeat, every gunman froze. Vincent's mind raced. Fight two gang members and a cop, or run. He grabbed Lucia's arm. "This way." Travis shoved Carver aside, barking, "Move," and bolted toward a side exit piled with pallets and broken fence. Vincent sprinted into the narrow side street, bullets peppering the wall behind him. Pain exploded in his shoulder, hot, searing, then adrenaline swallowed it. He stumbled over a puddle, dark blood mixing with rainwater, but he kept moving. Lucia fell in beside him, her arm supporting his weight. "Lean on me," she urged, voice tight with worry. They stumbled into a half-collapsed doorway. Vincent slid inside just as Delgado's voice faded behind warning shots. The alley shrank to a ring of distant lights and the steady drumming of rain. Travis was nowhere in sight. Vincent slumped against the damp wall, blood seeping through his shirt. He pressed a palm to the wound, tasting iron on his tongue. Lucia knelt beside him, tearing a scrap of her jacket to bind the gash. "You're bleeding out, Vincent," she said quietly. "We have to go." He swallowed. Every breath was lead. "Where's Travis?" She peered down the corridor. "He's covering our tracks. Took Carver down. But we move now, or we don't move at all." Outside, sirens swelled closer. Vincent recalled the gray cell walls he'd left behind, Rex's warning words echoing in his mind, Mira's silent photograph pressed to steel bars. Here, bleeding in a derelict doorway, freedom tasted like melted metal and fear. He forced himself to his feet, shoulder buckling under the pain. Lucia half carried him back into the alley's mouth. Rain washed red trails down his sleeve, but couldn't dilute the resolve heating his veins. Travis's voice came from somewhere ahead. "Safe house 2 blocks. Keep going." Vincent limped forward, every step a gamble between collapse and survival. Boston's night pulsed around them, an unrelenting judge hungry for his surrender. But he forced his battered body onward, bound by blood and necessity, to the fragile promise of safety ahead. As they slipped into the city's restless shadows, Vincent Marlowe vowed he would outpace every threat, lawman, rival, or his own haunted past, and earn each breath of freedom with the grit that had never left him. Vincent moved into the cold, pre-dawn blue that crept over the North End safe house, a squat brick building with scarred windows and the faint sting of stale coffee. Rest was a luxury here. Planning was the daily ritual. Beneath a single flickering bulb in a narrow room, he replayed every miscalculation that had bled him nearly dry in that alley fight. Now, every past mistake and the promise of redemption mingled in his chest like gasoline and spark. Travis leaned against a battered wooden table, maps and schematics spread before him. Devereaux Bank's granite facade, steel-reinforced vault, the labyrinth of service tunnels beneath Boston's streets. "This is more than a grab," he said, voice low. Devereaux runs on perfect routine, time locks, silent alarms, a manager-only override. "We crack that predictability, we crack the bank." Lucia watched Vincent as he traced a crease on the blueprint. She'd been on the wrong side of one too many busts and betrayals. Only a hardened eye survived her world. "You're not just betting your body on this," she said, "but your myth of perfection. One slip, and Delgado's teeth will tear through every decoy you've set." Vincent met her gaze steadily, a flicker of vulnerability beneath the defiance. "I'm not greedy," he said quietly. "I need proof that precision can beat fate, even when fate's got you cornered." He tapped the map's east entrance marker. "We'll come up through the old maintenance tunnel, surface in the sub-basement. Our insider, he's tangled in debts, loves a gamble. He'll tell us the exact second the guard cycle resets. We plant a timed charge, mask it as a power fault, then move before the manual override locks us out." Rain slid down the grimy windowpane, a steady patter like a countdown. Outside, the city was stirring, traffic hum and distant sirens. Lucia folded her arms. "And Delgado? He's your dark reflection. He hunts ghosts like you for a reason." Her voice softened, betraying the weight of her own close calls. "You think you can draw him into your web, then leave him spinning?" Vincent's jaw clenched. Memories of 1,000 near misses, cells, handcuffs, hopeless nights, flashed in his mind. "He thinks in straight lines," Vincent said. "We're about to play 3D chess. D decoys in key locations, exhaust fans rigged to trigger false heat signatures, hacked camera feeds that loop old footage. He'll chase those shadows while we slip in. And if he sees through it, he's stepping into my trap. Travis nodded, respect flickering in his eyes. Delgado's strength is his obsession. He won't quit till he holds your throat. But his weakness is that obsession. He follows one lead. He misses everything else. The safe house radio crackled, voices and static weaving together. Vincent knelt and ran his fingers over the blueprint's back corridor where the service elevator sat behind a false storefront on Harrison Street. He felt the same thrill he once felt tracing the hairline crack in those concrete prison walls. "We get in here," he said, voice almost reverent, "and in 30 seconds we either walk out with everything or we're trapped. That's our window, 30 seconds after the charge." Lucia smiled, half bitter, half admiring. "You always loved a spectacle, Marlowe. Just don't mistake beauty for victory. Perfection costs blood, sweat, and everything you hide behind that steady gaze." Vincent rose, shoulders squared against the weight of their collective stakes. "I owe every scar, every second wasted in that cell, to this moment. I'm not just stealing money, I'm reclaiming my story." He outlined the final sequence. Slip through the tunnel entrance at 2:15 a.m., plant the charge on the steel sub-basement door, upload Travis's custom virus to jam the alarm circuits. Race up the corridor under intermittent security light pulses. Breach the vault's digital lock with the virus, grab the cache and data drives, and exfil via the underground route before the manager's override resets. Each step was a precise heartbeat in a synchronized system. A sudden buzz from the radio cut through the hush, priority one on Vincent Marlowe. "All units converge on East Sector." Delgado's voice, cold and relentless, crackled through. Vincent's stomach tightened. The net was tightening sooner than they'd planned. Travis exchanged a glance with Lucia. "That quick?" he muttered. "Either he's on to us, or someone's feeding him." He rubbed his scarred cheek. "Either way, we adjust." Lucia's hand curled at her side as she studied the map. "We push the start time forward. Move everything 15 minutes. No room for hesitation." Vincent inhaled, the reins pulse grounding him. "Fine," he said, "but we stick to the sequence. No improvising once we're in the tunnel. We adapt outside, if we must." The safe house grew claustrophobic under the weight of alarms, time, and the rain-soaked city beyond thin walls. Vincent moved to the window, tracing the water's path down the glass like the tick of a clock. "We've come too far to back down now," he said. In less than an hour, every second will prove if this was a masterstroke or madness. Travis stepped forward, voice grave. "Remember, Marlowe, perfection isn't measured by the score, but by the fallout. If Delgado flips the switch early, we might not get a second chance." Lucia's tone turned almost gentle. "We're ghosts only as long as we don't make noise. Tonight, our silence has to be absolute." He felt her warning settle in his bones, like the calm before an avalanche. Vincent closed his eyes and let the steady drum of rain fill his mind, replaying every contingency. The hum of the radio, a distant siren in itself, reminded him that the world beyond these walls was hunting him with every tool at its disposal. When Vincent opened his eyes, determination shone in his gaze. He checked his watch, 2:03 a.m., 14 minutes to go. He turned to Travis and Lucia, his conspirators woven into his fate. "Lock in," he said. "No second guessing. When we trigger that charge, it's all or nothing." A hush fell over the room, broken only by the drip of rain and the faint static from the radio. Vincent took one last look at the blueprints, every line a promise, every note a vow. Then he stepped away from the table, shoulders back, ready to walk into the storm he'd conjured. Outside, Boston's streets lay slick and empty, the city holding its breath. Vincent Marlowe slipped from the safe house into the night, each footstep a calculated gamble. In the space between thunder and silence, he carried the weight of every failure, every ghost, into the perfect crime that would either free him or destroy him altogether. Before dawn, Vincent slipped into Boston's rain-slicked streets, every footfall a wager on fate's razor edge. Devereaux Bank towered ahead, granite and steel glinting under flickering halogen lamps like an indifferent judge. His heart hammered, counting down each second before destiny delivered its verdict. He ducked into a narrow alley and found Lucia and Travis waiting by a forgotten service door. Water dripped from broken awnings, echoing like distant gunfire. Lucia flexed surgical gloves, her dark hair plastered to her forehead. "Shift change in 30, she whispered, eyes quicksilver in the gloom. "We stick to the plan." No mistakes. Travis's usual calm had frayed. He swept his gaze across the corridor and lowered his voice. "Charge goes off at 2:30 on the dot. 30 seconds later, that door blows and we're in the sub-basement. No second chances." His scarred cheek twitched as though doubt tried to crack his resolve. Vincent drew in a cold breath. Months of schematics and guard patterns, every misstep at Concord State, every whispered warning from Rex, they all pointed to this moment of precision. "Let's move," he said, voice taut as a wire. They slipped into the bank's service corridor, a hushed labyrinth of peeling paint and ignored exit signs. Vincent led them to a steel door hidden behind a stack of dusty pallets. Under the pallet lay the timed charge, compact, lethal, set to mimic a circuit fault. He crouched, pressed the detonator, then backed away as the device ticked its last seconds. At 2:30 a.m., the corridor erupted in a thunderclap of controlled explosion. Dust and sparks rained down. Lucia shouted, "Go, go," and they surged through the ragged opening. Inside the sub-basement, steam hissed from exposed pipes, heavy with the metallic tang of debris. Vincent's gloved hands flew over the vault's digital lock, his portable override banking on Travis's code. "Feed me the sequence," he barked over the roar of alarms. Travis's voice crackled through a battered speaker. 4927, now! Vincent's fingers danced, pixels shifted, locks disengaged, until a line of green light snaked across the panel. For an instant, triumph flickered in his chest. Then red alerts lit the monitor like angry embers. A cold, familiar voice crackled through the bank's hijacked comm feed. "Unauthorized access in sub-basement. All units, move in." Officer Delgado's tone was ice, precise, merciless. Vincent froze. Something in the comm felt off, too crisp, too immediate. He glanced at Travis, who'd gone pale. On the speaker, Delgado's voice sharpened. "Security breach. Don't let them escape." Travis's eyes darted between Vincent and the collapsing lock. Sweat beaded on his brow. "I'm sorry," he stammered, then yanked a pistol from his coat and fired without aiming. The shot rang hollow against concrete. Lucia screamed as Travis collapsed, crimson blooming on his chest. "Travis!" Lucia sank to her knees, cradling him with trembling hands. His eyes, wide with regret, found hers. "They had my debts," he rasped. "They promised." A final breath escaped him, and his head lolled back. Sirens twisted closer, boots thundering in the tunnel. Through the haze of dust and panic, Delgado's silhouette appeared at the corridor's entrance, tactical flashlight carving swift arcs of light. "Freeze," he barked. "Nobody move." Storm clouds darkened his features, voice hard and unyielding. Lucia's voice was steel hard, though sorrow flickered in her eyes. "No time to mourn. Move." She shoved Vincent toward a narrow side passage he'd spotted in the plans. "North stairwell," he called, rallying courage. "Split up. I'll draw them if you slip out the service exit." She hesitated, eyes flicking to Travis's still form. Then she nodded, slinging a pack over her shoulder and vanishing into the smoke. Vincent sprinted after her, adrenaline lacing his veins. The stairwell yawned open, a vertical tunnel of peeling paint and flickering bulbs. His injured shoulder throbbed, each step a gamble. Behind him, shouts of "Stop!" and the staccato rattle of weapons urging him upward. He burst out onto a fire escape drenched in cold rain. The city lay below in blurry haze, wet pavement, orange streetlights, the crackle of distant sirens. Delgado's voice thundered behind him. Marlowe, you're done! Vincent paused, breathing ragged. The next alley, a narrow spine between boarded storefronts, beckoned him like a secret hymn. As he hesitated, a figure emerged from the shadows. Mira stood there, uniform darkened by rain, eyes hard and haunted. Vincent's breath caught. She had once slipped him guard schedules in prison, each quiet act an echo of guilt over her lost brother. Now she held out a hand. Vincent, she said, voice low, sometimes the price of freedom is more than you're willing to pay. But tonight you get a choice. He hesitated. Rain dripped from her badge and braided into her words. Delgado won't stop. But I, she inhaled, meeting his gaze with something like hope. I can help you vanish, if you let go of this obsession. Behind them, the tunnel roared alive with boots and bright beams. Vincent's chest tightened. He glanced back. Lucia's silhouette flickered beyond the next corner, already merging into the night. Travis lay behind, a grim testament to betrayal. With a fierce nod, Vincent seized Mira's hand. In that grip, he felt the weight of every miscalculation that had forged his obsession, and a fragile spark of something else, a chance at redemption beyond the perfect crime. They stepped into the alley. Mira's arm looped around his shoulder, guiding him toward a hidden door she'd once passed every shift. The rain hammered above them, masking their retreat in a thunderous lullaby. At last, they emerged into a deserted industrial lot. Flickering lights from police vehicles painted the puddles red and blue in frantic bursts. Across the lot, Lucia slipped into an unmarked van, already at the wheel, her gaze meeting Vincent's in a silent promise. Live or die trying. Mira eased Vincent down beside a flickering street lamp. He pressed a rag to his shoulder, the iron taste of blood warming in his mouth. Around them, the night pulsed with sirens and the angry bark of radios. Here, in this moment of fragile calm, Vincent confronted the hollow triumph of a crime undone by human failings. I wanted one flawless act to erase every mistake, he said, voice rough with grief. But I only tangled myself deeper. Mira knelt and placed a hand over his. Perfection is a myth, she said softly. But redemption lives in every choice you make afterward. He looked up at the stormy sky, thunder rolling like a judge's gavel. I don't know where to turn next, he admitted. All I know is I can't keep chasing ghosts of my failures. Her eyes glowed with something fierce and sad. Then perhaps, she whispered, you begin by letting go. Behind them, Lucia's van slunk into the labyrinth of back streets. Delgado's distant shouts receded as rain swallowed the noise. Vincent rose, each movement a promise forged in blood and regret. He followed Mira through the service door, into a passage where shadows offered no absolution, only the quiet path of choices yet to come. And as the night embraced him, Vincent Marlowe learned that freedom was never found in one perfect crime, but in the imperfect journey that followed. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.